11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, and we welcome once again to our Grecian Echoes broadcast, Manny Frangidakis and Stamatis Astra. Gentlemen, good morning. Και καλημέρα σας.
Καλημέρα. Πώς είσαστε?
Είμαστε...
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα, Μανί.
Καλημέρα, Manny. How are you? How's the market this morning? I haven't even looked.
Market is doing okay. We're balancing out. We're still trying to... You know, get through the beginning of the year and, you know, go through some of the data points and information that's coming our way, as well as, you know, take a looking at, you know, what monetary policy looks like, what fiscal policy looks like. So markets are bouncing slightly after a minor decline yesterday. Volatility was brought forward. It was, I don't know if you guys paid attention, but one of the bigger stories over the weekend was Bitcoin's rise to 42,000. A coin on Friday, and it subsequently reversed and dropped 21% yesterday. So that was massive volatility. You saw some, you know, people pulling from different buckets to alleviate that pain. But you know, it's been a wild ride for 2021 so far. You know, the speculation and massive inflow of money has yet to cease. We've seen it by, you know, valuations of companies almost doubling and tripling in, you know, in a short period of time.
Manny, what is the consensus on interest rates? A lot of talk about inflation coming up, that the Federal Reserve may act a little bit sooner. A lot of people are taking another look at refinancing their mortgages, even if they did it less than a year ago. What would you advise people with, you know, that they are thinking about anything has to do with their financial assets in respect to the interest rates?
Do it now while you can. I mean, you know, we're not going to be Europe. We're not going to be parts of the other world. We're not going to go to negative interest rates. Interest rates probably are as best as they're ever going to be. In terms of for consumer, you know, protection and for feasibility. So I think that from this level, if you haven't refinanced, it's the number one thing you should be looking to do. Even if you did it a year ago, you don't know what the bank's willing to give. So it's worth having that conversation. From my perspective, interest rates have nowhere to go up from here. We're not going to go into negative territory. It would be destructive to our economy and to our banking sector. So my outlook for interest rates is that they normalize at some point over the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be a very hard battle. There's been talk of them tapering their bond purchases toward the latter end of this year. The last time the market or the Fed tried to do that was under Bernanke's control, and we had the taper tantrum, and he was never even able to raise interest rates. He just put the idea out there in the market. You know, went through its turmoil and they pulled back from their program. And at that point, that's when the market pinned the Fed and realized that they're going to do whatever it takes to keep this market buoyant.
Okay. That's, you know, that's very interesting. And so regarding mortgages, again, you strongly say to people, if you haven't refinanced, that's something you should do. That includes assuming... If you can refinance other things like any other loans you have, that's your recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's the best financial practice behavior you could implement right now if you have not done so. Like I said, they have nowhere to go but up from here. We're not going to go to negative territory.
Okay.
We're already seeing how bad it was in Europe. I mean, Europe's banking system has been destructed. Even UBS came out, as well as some other European financial institutions, and said because of negative interest rates, they're now going to have to charge certain customers over certain asset thresholds, you know, 330 euros just to maintain their, you know, their cash. Because what we know to be true in the European banking system right now is that it costs the banks money to hold investors' cash.
Mm-hmm. One, on a big picture, I would like to get your comments. What happened last week? We did see a political mayhem, to say the least, but we did not see any economic fall down. We didn't see the stock market sneeze. Even I think it was during the session that we had the riots on the Capitol. the stock market didn't dismiss it, so to speak.
Actually rose in response.
So if you kindly want to give the financial point of view of what happened, and obviously now we know this week that we have the Democratic Senate. So if you want to give us the financial point of view, what to expect from a blue, so to speak, administration in all three branches of government.
Sure. So in terms of the terrible events that took place last week, the market saw right through it, and the market's response was this was a non-event, that democracy was not threatened, that the republic wasn't threatened, that the American way of government wasn't threatened, that it was essentially a one-off, and that there wasn't going to be further turmoil from at least an economic standpoint that would fall on top of the market. So that was the market's response to the events that took place in the Capitol last week. In terms of what does a blue wave mean, which we've talked about many times in the past, from the first standpoint of taxes, that tax rates will increase. The Biden administration, since day one, has projected that they, you know, should they, you know, win the administration, which they did, and should they retain power of the House and Senate, that they would push forward with raising the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%. So that would be a 9% drop in corporate profitability. That would probably result in a 10 to 15% drop in indices just from the standpoint of taxation. Consumers making over, or individuals making over $400,000 a year, would see an increase on their taxes. So that would be less consumer spending. So that would also, so two net negatives on the economy. Now, again, we've talked about this in the past, where you have two major themes happening. Policy changes from an administration, from a tax point standpoint, both corporate and individual. But at the same time, the idea of a much larger fiscal stimulus package coming down the pipe in 2021. Schumer already came out and said that he wanted to get households $2,000 again by the end of the month. So with the powers that be and the fact that they control all powers of legislation, it looks like that is something they're going to seamlessly be able to do. So that will be more money being flushed into the system. What we know to be true based off of the past government programs put forward in response to COVID and the coronavirus was that actually most people either use those funds to pay down debt or they actually put it into the stock market. So it will be beneficial to the stock market, and that's why the stock market is remaining near all-time highs with the idea of more cash coming into the system. At the same time, with interest rates being near zero, the hunt for yield has become near impossible, and investors have nowhere to look really but stocks. And with interest rates being very low, the real risk has actually been fundamentally taken out of the market, at least over the near term. Not to say that risk doesn't exist and it can't happen fast, but from an interest rate standpoint, the stocks have almost become the risk-free asset. So the market is holding on to the belief that with interest rates remaining near zero for the remainder of the year, that this party will continue and the music won't stop. The other standpoint is that due to the events last week, it was speculated that lawmakers would become more bipartisan in their nature, to be able to show the American people that they are here for their benefit and to support them during this crisis. So you could see more bipartisan deals happening. The other effects, there was a lot of effects last week that, you know, has already changed market participation, but you've seen the large tech companies come down in valuation. And that's from the standpoint that one of the most bipartisan policies that might come forward might be regulation and antitrust of big tech. And a lot of that has come down since, President Trump being removed from Twitter, Facebook, and some of these other social media sites. It will now come into focus on how much power do these companies and entities have to control free speech and the American voice. So those companies have actually declined in valuation since that standpoint, because one of the most bipartisan agenda items might be regulation and antitrust of big tech, which has been speculated on for quite a bit of time. But
yeah, it's interesting because you have the both parties the same target coming from different points of view. The conservatives conservatives complain it censors them, and Democrats complain it's a monopoly. So it's interesting.
So it's finally looking like both sides of the aisle might come together to do something against big tech. So you've seen that starting to come into fruition in the market in terms of how the prices are being put together, at least momentarily. They've been declining from that standpoint. And the last but not least, and the other reason why the market is, bouncing and staying elevated is the fact that with this administration, with control of the Senate and the House, that for the first time in maybe multiple decades, that the United States might actually be able to push forward with an infrastructure bill, which would be a massive plus to the economy. It would put a lot of people back to work, and it would create consumer demand. It would get people back on the road. It would be just a massive financial stimulus package if they could get an infrastructure bill done. It's been one of the things that this country has needed for a while. It's been one of the most talked about points about getting people, back into work. And at a time where the labor market might actually be fractured and there might be long-term ramifications and scars due to COVID, this could be a great way to alleviate that pain. So the market is focusing on the fact that this infrastructure bill could actually come to fruition.
Okay, and a lot of talk has been on rebalancing portfolio between, value stocks. What about rebalancing your total assets? What would you say to people thinking about assets like bonds, cash, stocks, real estate? What would be your point of view on how to diversify your complete wealth?
It really depends on your time horizon. There's not a cookie cutter way to do this. If you are retiring within the next 1 to 2 years and planning to withdraw on your portfolio, there's a massive argument right now that you should be selling all of your stocks, that these valuations might be as good as they get. So it really depends on your time horizon. There's no real way to answer that question in terms of how do you diversify. It's going to be based off of what's in your current portfolio compared to what's not. And people on our end and under our management are getting more allocated to the world that we feel safe about and not toward these massively speculated high price valuations where we think that there's room for error and room for weakness. So to answer your question, there's probably not a good way to answer it, some might be, but it really depends on your time horizon. But one of the points I want to hit home is that you have a 1 to 2 year time horizon. The stock valuations might be as best as you see over that time period.
Okay.
Very interesting. Manny, before I let you go, I just want to reference the listening audience. I took a little time this morning, actually, Manny. It's been a while. I checked out your website. And I want.
Yeah, we launched the new one last week, Teddy.
I just saw that. I just saw it. It came upon me, and I want to just urge the listening audience, 12pointswealthmanagement.com. It's a great website. It's just been relaunched, and thank you for putting Grecian Echoes there on your bio, under the bio page. That's wonderful. But, moving forward, there's another thing that has happened as a result of COVID is, being innovative with all the creativity, using the media outlets. I know that you and your organization have been spreading the word through various sources of media, multimedia. That's the new way of how it goes. How has it been? Let's just close out on this, Manny. The face-to-faces, for the most part, have been drastically reduced. How has the one-on-one been in regards to, dealing with a client, especially when you're under some, nice negotiations on both sides? What's the difference that you've experienced been?
Yeah, so obviously the face-to-face has massively declined. Mm-hmm. And those who feel comfortable and actually push forward, we will still meet with them face-to-face, masks and, with separation.
Mask to mask, sure, yep.
Correct. But, we're understanding and sympathetic and empathetic to the environment, so we're here to help as best as we can in the manner that our customers and potential customers see fit. In regards to non-person, we've obviously done a lot of Zoom, and that's worked out great. The new age technology is here to stay, and I think it's going to be more widely adopted and more widely used even after COVID. So that will be interesting to see how the workplace dynamic changes from that standpoint. But, it's been challenging. It's been absolutely challenging, especially when you're looking from the business development standpoint. It's very hard to get in front of new people. Now, for existing clients, we usually are their most trusted source. And I candidly have an unbelievable relationship with all my clients. And they all have my cell phone and they all call me 24/7. So it's a much different environment for us where we're constantly able to talk and communicate with our folks, whether it's in person, over Zoom, or over the phone or email. So it's been challenging, but it hasn't derailed us. Mm-hmm. And even from our growth standpoint, we actually had a great fourth quarter in terms of bringing in new assets and new clients. Mm-hmm. And we continue to, you know, hit the ground running in 2021 with momentum. And I think it's just, you know, kudos to years of hard work, boots on the ground, and doing the right thing at all times for clients. So I don't know if that's just because of the pandemic and people are thinking things differently, or if it's just, you know, it usually takes 2 to 3 years to build something and then they will come. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Manny, I have a text message here from a listener who wants to remain anonymous. We'll respect everybody's request. What would the effects of the economy be if we are coming out of COVID and unemployment is dropping quickly and an infrastructure bill is passed? Isn't that going to put more demands on labor and skilled workers? Wouldn't that trigger inflation?
Yeah, 100%. And we're already seeing the bottlenecks already start to kind of burst. You know, iron ore prices have skyrocketed. Copper has skyrocketed. Oil is moving in a fast direction north again. Natural gas is through the roof due to the fact that we might have a polar vortex coming again in Europe and North America sometime in January and February. Inflation is spiking right now. Real rates are rising. You're seeing a pretty decent steepening of the yield curve right now. It's probably a very dangerous game because we've always pointed to the fact that what happens when the Fed has to raise interest rates at the most improper time. So it is going to be a fickle matter. Now, the market is completely different from the real economy. You can have the real economy spurring back into growth, have the labor market decline, but also have a declining stock market. You know, bear markets are born on good news and bull markets are born on bad news. You know, the fact that the vaccine and everything is rolling out right now could be, you know, a turning point in this bull market. You could very well have a spurring economy over the next 1 to 2 years, well, with a declining stock market. We've seen it happen over the last 4 years. So there's multiple different factors to take into play. But yeah, inflation is one of them. And one of our major key themes going into portfolios this year is, you know, what happens if we do have runaway inflation and, you know, running hypothetical situations on how does it affect stock prices to bond prices? Because one of the things that is most concerning is you both have the stock market and bond market at all-time highs. So if you are at a standpoint where you do have to do some portfolio allocation changes, is the move to go from stock to bonds with the idea that you, if you have a rising interest rate market, you will have a declining bond market. Which is why one of the key points is diversification. You never want to see your portfolio moving in the same direction on any given day. You know, what we've seen in volatility over the last 1 year is not normal. Asset prices should not move 1% to 5% on a daily basis. Fundamentals don't change that quickly. So there's a lot of concepts that will come into play in this next year. And we are 12 years into the largest bull market in the history of the U.S. stock market. So there is a lot of different things to look at, and inflation is probably the biggest key.
On a local note, closing out, you know, Mayor Walsh will no longer be the mayor of the city of Boston. You know, we all have, you know, had connections to him throughout the year. We wish him the very best. Any changes? What do you see changing perhaps in your neighborhood as you do live in the city after all?
No, it's too early to tell, Teddy. I mean, we don't even know who's going to run in his place yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's speculation that, you know, one of the police commissioners might run. There's speculation that some of the other folks that hold public office might try to run.
Yeah, there's a few candidates.
And you get an interim mayor in the meantime because, you know, we still don't even know how fast they're going to hold elections.
That's true.
Are they going to be this spring? It's probably going to be doubtful. Is it going to be in the fall?
Who knows?
There's been no clear timetable yet, at least to my knowledge. So I think it's too early to speculate what fundamental changes we could see from an administration standpoint regarding the new mayor of Boston.
Yeah. How about the city? How is it? Is it still very quiet?
Yeah, nothing's changed, Teddy. Still very quiet. It's going to remain that way with winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold. It's going to remain cold. There is actually talk. I just mentioned this, but I read an interesting article today, and it's been speculated that there could be another polar vortex this year, similar to 2017. Now, not the record spells of negative 16-degree temperatures like we saw in Chicago that year, But, you know, it's going to get cold here. It's pretty quiet right now. None of the offices are really open yet. You know, nothing's really changed over the last couple of weeks. And barring, you know, massive changes with the vaccine rollout and businesses opening back up, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that we just got put on extreme high alert here in Massachusetts for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And with hospitals being kind of overwhelmed, you know, I think that there's not going to be any restriction changes either, where restaurants will be able to go back to 50% capacity yet or higher, or increase the number of participants at a table. So I think all that has to come into effect before you can imagine, you can expect the migration back to urban living or
dining or anything. I don't know. You probably weren't listening earlier, but Costa Perdicaki called us from Florida, and he basically said that restaurants are packed, people are out, the bands are playing, and the show goes on. So,
yeah,
and that's good old USA for you, I guess. A little of this and a lot of that. De los bandos.
Yeah, it really depends on where you are geographically and what your state's outlook is in terms of restrictions and the vaccine and then the virus. So, you know, depending on where you are, Arizona, these red states, they're open for business, you know. The blue states, especially in the colder climate areas that are getting hit pretty hard, are, you know, still shut down.
Yeah. Stamati, any closing comments?
I think what the market is saying is the positive thing that whatever happens in Washington, the analysts and people where the real money is, they believe that, good news and the economy will continue. And if you look at all the consensus of the growth for 2021, everybody expects a rebound and high growth. And yes, the stock market is not the economy, but it's just one indicator, and it's pointing north.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Listen, we do have a listening audience, because I keep getting questions asked by the listening audience. So if you don't mind. All right. Ask about herd immunity. Won't 40% inoculation accelerate restart? And what level do you think the pivot point will be on restart?
I think herd immunity is something that is a hope and wish and a dream, at least to the present standpoint. I mean, what we've learned, not just here, but across the world, is that it hasn't really come into play yet. Some countries have been able to supposedly get to that level. But, you know, if you look at Southeast Asia, if you look at Europe, if you look at the United States, if you look at South America and Brazil and some of the other places, they're nowhere close. And the cases are spiking like crazy. And now we're talking about new strains, and what the effect of that is. And, you know, we're still battling back and forth on what the efficacy of the vaccine is. Is it 60%? Is it 90%? You know, they got to 90% at Pfizer because they got the dosage wrong. Instead of giving one person a full dose and a full dose after the fact, they actually gave people a half dose and then a full dose after the fact. So their efficacy went much higher than they originally even projected. So there's still so much that we can learn, that we have to learn before we can even point to the fact that, you know, we're going to get to herd immunity, and that's going to be what pulls us out of this lull and depressed state.
We could go on and on and on. Gentlemen.
Again, I'm not an epidemiologist. Maybe that's a better question for Stamati or his wife. But from my standpoint, I'm not holding on to the belief that it's going to be herd immunity. For me, it's going to be the vaccine is what's going to get us to the other end.
Yeah. Listen, gentlemen, thank you so very much. And we'll do this all over again next Tuesday here. Manny Frangidakis joins us at 11 a.m. now, new time, for 2021 right here on the show. Manny and Stamati, have a great afternoon.
You too, gentlemen. Be well.
Bye-bye.